Dr. Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
issues with the raising of the dam wall in Sydney. So Sydney, behind it has a mountain range which goes up to 1,200 meters. It's not all that high. It's a very ancient mountain range, and a series of rivers cut through it, the Coxa River, and they flow down. They're really crinkly, but they have this straight section, a beautiful straight section called the Warragamba River, and they all connect up and flow into this. This is beautifully straight because there's been a fault shift in the landscape, and along this fault there's been a flat river, and then there's a series of gorges and canyons where, rather than the river cutting through, the canyons have risen either side and eroded through it. But across this long flat thing, they've found the way to build a dam, and so they built a dam in the 50s for the then population of Sydney. Then the idea was that one of the things we wanted to do, the dam can store water, but it can also stop floods. So you've got this large catchment area, and it obviously stores and meters out the water so that it can be built up. These rivers come in and essentially over time, 20% flow onwards, the rest is taken and actually pumped through Sydney's and the gardens and stuff like that. And so there was this attempt to raise the wall in around 2000, around the Sydney Olympics, but politics prevailed, and then people said, well, there is a risk that the dam will be overflowing and will break the dam. Besides the flood stuff, it will wreck the dam. And so it was logical, and they put some money in and built a spillway. So when the water goes up to a certain level, it goes through a particular path around the side of the dam, designed not to fall. So apparently, if you've got water rushing over the top of the dam, the change in pressure, I think there's things like that, mean that the dam can crack and fail and all this stuff. So now, the idea has come to pass in that, looking at Sydney at a certain amount of land, the idea is to build on this land, and essentially, so Sydney has a massive, you know, lots of unoccupied residences and all that type of stuff. So we've got an excess of housing at the moment. Well, an excess of housing at a price that people don't want to pay for. I think that might be the accurate thing. But the idea is that essentially people have a business model of essentially all money is information, and you can do things is that you can go in and find new information, mine new information, be innovative, or you can create a relative barrier for information and go through a social thing of social exclusiveness, and essentially you just have to read Hegel or Marx to go across it. It's just that people, for no objective reason, become capitalists and masters, and they, through no rational reason except for pieces of paper and history and society, own that, and therefore they can get a surplus of value from it. They can produce, and then they can share equally up to needs, but any excess capacity they can just take. And so through here, there's the idea, this sort of extends to, the principle extends, obviously there's something fraudulent about that, but there's just two animals. If you saw two kangaroos and one kangaroo could just bully the other kangaroos, yeah, just doesn't make sense. But similarly here, there's the idea of theft of public value. So you put in an application to do something on the principle that you should be wealthy, you should be able to make money and should be wealthy, and there's the so this is a more ancient view. It's not as modern because it becomes technically impossible to govern. The governance is not there. If you have awarding people to the slyest, trickiest person can actually get something built, get something across. You can get something across. Now, obviously, this becomes unsustainable if you add new technology, you add things, you add information in, it becomes increasingly complex. And so we have thought of mechanisms to actually eliminate that. And what's called is in intellectual property, there's this concept called due candor. That is that if you have information that could assist a patent attorney for the intellectual thing, and you choose, can be shown to hide it, that automatically means you lose your intellectual property rights. In that intellectual property rights is the grant of a monopoly at the care of the state in exchange for dissipation of know-how. You to get a patent, you have to describe how something is done to someone's skill in the art. So it means that technology is bought up and the state grants you a license. But there's also the idea of due candor. Now, this means that you can say that you're trying to take advantage of the system. Now, what's what's happening here is that the actual people proposing the dram wall are not doing due candor, and they are wanting to buy or purchase a low cost the rights to develop land in the floodplains and get public money to build a dam wall, and their behaviour is to make the access to knowledge difficult and the access to open debate difficult. At no point will they stand up and subject themselves to explain rationally what they're doing. Now, essentially there's a few logical things which flow from this. By building a dam wall, extending the dam wall, we're not increasing capacity of the dam, because we are pretty much at the capacity of all the rain that captures it, and most years the dam at Warragamba is got a capacity of under 70%, 70 to 50%. So raising the dam wall is for to mitigate the risk of a large flood. It doesn't change the water bearing capacity of the basin, because we've already we've already maxed that out, thanks to 1950s engineering and calculations. Now, so that's a misconception that I've come across. But also, environmental. So a flood on a floodplain is ecologically beneficial, and a flood in an alpine region, which is not designed, is catastrophic because the flood is not cyclical, it's catastrophic. And so we're now, it's the jacaranda would mean in this case that if you want to propose a public building of something, you have to have the to make a best effort to openly educate rather than obfuscate. And so there's two sort of levels here that the people are sort of several steps away from jacaranda. One is that they're not saying that point. The other aspect of it is that the there's two equations for a flood. One is the input of water, and the other is the output of water. Now, surprisingly, the 70 kilometres inland, there's large sections of the Hawkesbury area, the river area, which is only 7 metres above sea level. Why say 7 metres? That's the height that the sea will rise if Greenland shelf melts, which it appears to be doing. And this has an effect, because it's a flow-on effect, because a flood is in versus output. As the sea level rises, the suction effect of water flowing down reduces, as far as I can see. That is, if I've got water, it will generally flow more quickly. I suppose it's down the gradient of the slope. So it's the actual slope that's there, but you will build up more water if the sea level is higher. The flood, it's like as though the this Greenland is already setting up your raising the flood level, so you need less water to flood. So there's that aspect. There's sort of the jacaranda aspect, and so what that sort of means is that you know that if they're not exercising jacaranda, and you propose an idea, the concept is not to analyse the idea, but the way to debate and rhetoric, you know, to destroy an idea. So you've got the different variabilities. Then there's the risk to property of a flood and the ability to do things. Now, the that risk obviously is a risk is from the unknown and things like that, and weather falls into the capacity of the unknown. And there's this indication that every 10 years we gain 2 days advantage in forecasting, and then people say, oh, it's random because we don't know, it's the solar activity which determines the tipping point in a lot of these storm systems. But what's happened is that we are modelling the sun more effectively, and we have satellites, because it's sort of like the sun is a rotating calendar of sun spots. They're moving in a certain way, but we can predict what a sun spot is going to see by putting a observatory, which we've got these observatories around the sun, so we can see all sides of it. And so rather than waiting for a sunspot to come where you can get some advance warning. So there's going to be things associated with that. So the actual risk to livelihood and property is, well, we have alternative ways. And there may be an equally alternative way in reducing the resistance to flow. So it's at a certain point you need a high flow, but if the high flow, if there's a certain resistance to it, it's like a resistor, the level, sea level will go up, or the flood level will go up until you, for that resistance, you get that flow through resistance. Sort of makes sense. So if you have something which can have a great channel, take it great, if something can drain, it's sort of like, I don't know, people, I don't know, if it's, say you're digging, you've got a tent, and what you do is you dig a little channel around there, so the water drains quickly around there, and doesn't build up. So you dig a train, and then you dig a trench onwards into a drain, so it all pours out. So this is the fundamental thing of street flooding. We build drains into it. So what may well be is that the construction of a mega drain may be a better way of doing it, because it, you know, it's, at the end of the day, people want to, the debate has moved on in terms of candor is not going to be constructive things, because there's people want people to select from a range of options. They don't want the options to be expanded out. That's not the idea. And it's very interesting in terms of the handling of people, the idea of that you push academics and people behind. So this is the end. So I'm coming home. Hope you've enjoyed this podcast.
Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.